Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
Starting pitching hopeful in the rotation this season, Andrew Painter. I spit my espresso out when I heard it. Now, unfortunately, I had to reduce it to the form of a quote board as opposed to a clip to play for you. But Deuces Rogers of 6abc.com, as you guys know, I watch the action news when I wake up. Get my little sports segment there. Get my day started with that, with Deuces or Jamie or whoever it might be. And I'm watching it this morning. And Deuces Rogers is getting some fine content. He's talking to Rob Thompson. You'll hear from him on the show from Deuces clip. He's talking to Trey Turner, which is great. He's talking to Kyle Schwarber, which is great. And then he stops by Andrew Painter's locker in the clubhouse there. And he's like, hey, what's up there, young fella? How you feeling? And Andrew Painter doles out a hell of a quote. We'll get to that. We got A.J. Brown also defending the idea of not signing Jalen Hurts. I know some people right now are looking at the whole Lamar Jackson thing and going, well, you know, if they're doing it to Lamar, they can do it to anybody. They're not doing it to Jalen Hurts. It's not happening to Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts is getting his bag, as the kids like to say, as the athletes, as Jalen Hurts' teammates like to say. Jalen Hurts is getting re-signed. There's no chance he doesn't. I'm fully confident in Howie Roseman's ability to sign Jalen Hurts to a very long, lucrative contract. And I am here for it, and I support it. So we'll get into all that and more on today's program. Let's start it off with the Phillies because, holy pots and pans, this is great. It was one of those things where it's like, say it with your chest, son. So Deuces is walking around the clubhouse. He's down there at spring training, and he's talking to Trey Turner. Trey Turner's really, you know, I've been part of so many great lineups. This is a great lineup. We have a chance to do a lot of great things. This is going to be great. 29-year-old Trey Turner, fantastic. Then we go over and we talk to a guy like Kyle Schwarber. Kyle Schwarber goes, oh, this lineup seems to do great things. If all comes together, we'll play great. Rob Thompson, a lot of expectations on your clubhouse this year. Here's Rob Thompson to Deuces Rogers of 6ABC on what those expectations mean to the clubhouse.
A little bit about, you know, what's most important is our own expectations and not somebody else's expectations, because that's, to me, that's just noise. It's just, you can't control what other people's expectations are of you. So make sure that and my expectations are you prepare, you compete, you're selfless, and you have fun. I did.
That sounds great. You set your own expectations. Everything else is just noise. That's what a lot of coaches will say. In this case, a manager is saying it to his clubhouse. This, everything else is noise. You got to set the bar for yourself. Set the bar pretty high last year by making it to a World Series. That's pretty amazing. Nice to at least get back to that stage this year. I believe you've made upgrades to this team. I believe you're a better team going on to the baseball diamond this year than you were walking off it last year with the addition of Trey Turner and with your starting lineup. And by the way, or starting rotation, excuse me. And by the way, it is also pretty nice to know that you're going to have a guy like Bryce Harper added to this lineup as the season goes on. So yes, all things need to come together. And I understand that this quote right here from Andrew Painter starts with or has a pretty big if in it. This is what Andrew Painter told 6abc.com yesterday in Clearwater, Florida. With the talent here, the chemistry, if we can make it click, I think this team can go all the way and go down in the history books as one of the greatest teams ever. Say it with your chest, son. Say it with the chest. Andrew Painter comes out and he says, and now is he saying this team is going to the World Series? Is he saying this team is going to win a World Series? Is he saying this team is going to go down as the greatest team ever? One of the greatest teams ever. He's not saying that, but he's putting a thought in my head. He certainly is. And some people might say, a little bold for a 19-year-old who hasn't even pitched a major league inning yet, who hasn't even thrown a ball at a major league level yet. But damn, son, he's doing what he's doing. He's looking around. He's seeing the talent in that clubhouse. And he's looking at that starting rotation with him on the back end of it. And he's saying, why not? Well, we don't come together. Things don't click. We don't have good luck. We hopefully, knock on wood, guys stay healthy. And our guy who isn't healthy comes back and he plays with full vengeance like he's going after his third MVP award. All those things come together. All the things click. You're going to be looking at a pretty damn good baseball team. Now, when you talk about the 100 wins, and we talked about this last week, what can the Phillies do? How good did they really get? You're talking about this starting rotation just being exactly as good as advertised, whether it's Zach Wheeler and it's Aaron Nola handling their business as their 1-2 punch with Ranger Suarez, Julio Teheran, having a guy like Andrew Painter really round out that rotation and having a pretty damn solid bullpen. Yeah, your arms are pretty set rotationally and coming out of the bullpen in relief. Then you look top to bottom in this lineup, and we've talked about Nick Castellanos not having a down year. I've told you how I want to see a guy. I want to see Trey Turner be your leadoff hitter. I want 2-run home runs from Kyle Schwarber, not just solo home runs. I want 2 runners on with nobody out with a guy like either Rhys Hoskins or hopefully Nick Castellanos or JT Realmuto coming up, hitting that 3-hole, whatever it might be. That's what I want to see when the season starts. And yes, I do think this team is going to be pretty damn good. The only thing is, it hardly ever works out like it should on paper. Even when you do bulk up and you look around and you see how good this team can be with potential because of what's on paper, it rarely ever works out like that. Phillies definitely have a chance at 100 wins. I think they've at least gotten 95, 96 wins in the bag. I think they can flirt with 100 wins. I might be too optimistic to say that they could get to 100. But this is going to be a very good baseball team. They are going to, here's one thing I can guarantee you. They're going to give us meaningful games in September. I know that's always a bottom line type of thing. That's what we question every single season. They're at least going to give us the meaningful games in September. It's a matter of how they're going to perform in the playoffs again. And if they draw what they drew last year in the playoffs, then yes, they have an easy path to a World Series. If they play to their potential, yes, they will have an easy path to a World Series. And when you talk about the potential of having Kyle Schwarber hit you another 40-plus home runs this season, Trey Turner on the base path constantly leading off for this team, you have a guy like Nick Castellanos bouncing back from a very just down year last year, especially when you talk about the power numbers. I mean, you look at the way the end of the season with a .262 batting average, you go, I mean, that's not terrible considering how he started out the season. But the power numbers were abysmal. And then you just throw in the X factor there with JT Realmuto, who everyone takes for granted defensively speaking. And last year, I certainly did not. I mean, I was talking about JT Realmuto last year. I was saying how this guy, they can't win if he plays like this. What happened? He started playing up to his potential, how we know he can play. And all of a sudden, the Phillies find themselves rolling through the playoffs into a World Series. That ain't just a coinky dink. JT Realmuto turning on the Jets, getting locked in last year, and the Phillies... success directly tied to that? Yeah, that's not a coincidence. So you have all these guys up and down the lineup that can do some great things for you. And Bryson Stott, I think, is going to have a solid year for you at second base. I think Alec Bohm, with hopefully adding that muscle, will add to more power at the plate. I mean, it only makes sense. But what you got from him, especially in the middle months of the season, and see him to continue that till the end of the season, was very special to watch. And it does give you a lot of hope that going into this season, you have guys that are riding a high off of last year, not just from a World Series, from what the team accomplished with the National League Championship, but what they accomplished individually. A lot of these guys playing really well together led to that success. And sometimes in baseball, you have guys that are doing well individually at sporadic moments that they're not getting the timely hit. You might have one guy that's got a hitting streak going at the top of the lineup. Nobody can get a hit after him. Then the next thing you know, that guy goes cold and the next guy gets hot. It's the ups and downs. It's the ebbs and flows of baseball. But this team is stacked. It'd be hard for me to believe that this lineup goes cold and goes through spells like we saw them do in the past. Whether that be getting shut out with Jason Worth in their lineup against the Mets in three consecutive games, or that getting no hit in a World Series, I would find it tough for this lineup to go ice cold for long stretches of time during the regular season. You're going to have somebody step up and carry you. And the best part about it is when you are riding highs, and if you are riding a high around the All-Star break, Bryce Harper is sitting there right behind the glass. And when he's healthy, you break that glass and the man busts out. I can't wait for it. And I know, again, you can look at a quote like this from Andrew Painter. You can say, slow down, young bull. Take it easy there, buddy. But you know what? The guy's looking around the clubhouse and he is seeing exactly what we're all seeing. He is seeing a wildly, wildly talented club that wants to go out there and do exactly what they have been doing over the last season or two. And that's just going out there and making sure they find a way to win, find a way to have meaningful games in September, and going out there with their new manager, removing the interim tag, with Rob Thompson trying to get things done as a major league ball club. Say it with your chest, son. Here's the other thing about Andrew Painter and why I don't mind it. I love the mindset. He's got his eyes on the prize, okay? You might say, slow down. But what's wild about this is that how many times with the Phillies, whether it be Dave Dombrowski, whether you even go back to Ed Wade, how many times have we heard, not ready yet? We don't want to rush him along. So-and-so prospect is not going to be our savior. That was a big one for Ruben Amaro Jr. He's not going to be our savior. All right. Andrew Painter's 19 years old, and he's already at least getting his shot at the starting rotation. That's pretty special. And no matter who you hear it from, whether it's Dave Dombrowski or it's analysts, whatever, everybody is high on Andrew Painter. And one of the things that really jumped out to me that was so different than anything we heard from Ed Wade or Ruben Amaro Jr. or whoever it might have been, even Pat Gillick, a Hall of Fame general manager. One of the things that really jumped out to me is the end of the year press conference when Dave Dombrowski was addressing the media and he came out and just flat out said, yes, we are holding a spot in our rotation for one of our young arms. Whether that be Mick Abel, probably not, or Andrew Painter, likely so. We're saving a spot in our rotation for one of our young arms. I remember begging for Cole Hamels to get called up. I remember his first start in Cincinnati against the Reds. I remember Crosby, please let this kid come up. 22 years old, please. I just want to see him pitch at the major league level. Begging for it. And finally, Pat Gillick pulled the trigger. Finally, he was 22 years old. Pulled the trigger on Cole Hamels coming up. And he had a nice little run here in Philadelphia. And now I think about it like this. 19 years old, and you have a guy at the end of a season press conference saying how you're saving a spot in your rotation for young guys. Music to this lifelong Phillies fan's ears that Andrew Painter could be one of those guys, and the Phillies are looking at him in that light already. Now here we are at spring training. Go get it, kid. Saturday you start, what, inter-squad games, split-squad games? Go out there and make it happen. Put big smiles on all of our faces. Please and thank you. Say it with your chest, fella. Say it with your chest. That's a little thing for you right there that, you know, the Phillies, hey, look, I think they're making the playoffs. I think they're going to have a great season. But they might not. Now, sometimes when there's contracts going on, well, sometimes a player gets what he wants and sometimes they don't. And sometimes it, you know, doesn't end well. Baltimore is a perfect example of that. I mentioned Lamar Jackson right now. They're still toying with an MVP quarterback about long-term contract. Baltimore's bulking, unfortunately. I don't see that scenario playing out here in Philadelphia. And I first read this quote, and then I went back and I watched the interview on Raw Room. And man, woo, daddy, A.J. Brown got into some stuff. He did not hold back. Here he is on Raw Room when he was talking about Jalen Hurts and the contract extension coming up with the Eagles. Here's how A.J. broke it down.
This I love Philly. And I'm about to say. You do not pay this man. Just ship me off wherever he finna go.
It's over.
I'm telling you, package deal me
with him.
Listen, so you talk about pressure, how we get it done.
Again, Raw Room. Want to give him full credit. That's the Raw Room podcast and YouTube show as well. AJ Brown goes on there, and how we get it done. I don't think we have any worry, any concern. Love that he's sticking up for his boy. Love that he's sticking up for his friend. Absolutely love that. You want to see a lot more of that in French sports. Guys, stick up. They're not afraid to say something, especially when somebody is so deserving as Jalen Hurts. I first read it, and when I saw it, I went, there is no chance in hell that Jalen Hurts doesn't get re-signed. There's no chance in hell they don't give Jalen Hurts his money. You're talking about average annual salary. Average annual salary. You have a guy like Aaron Rodgers who's at like $50 million, okay, on average annual salary. You have Deshaun Watson, who, just to go through the whole spectrum here, Deshaun Watson's at about $47, $48 million. That's pretty damn good. Jalen Hurts is getting a lot closer to that $50 million on average annual salary. And it is incredible to think about it. Because when you think about it, and this isn't going into the dark recesses of my brain, as I tell you guys so many times, or whatever, but it's not going dark. It's going actually pretty light. You look at it like this. Carson Wentz signed a huge contract, $150 million, about $109 million of that guaranteed. 2 years later, Howie Roseman found his way out of it. A year later, found his way out of it. And he drafted Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts is now the next guy up to make that big, big money deal. Now, you might look at it and be a little hesitant because of what happened with Carson. Jalen Hurts ain't Carson Wentz. This is a whole new ballgame. I'll say it again. When you look at Jalen Hurts, you see a mentally tough athlete. You see a guy that when adversity is facing him, he takes it head on. And I've talked about it where if you could bottle what Jalen Hurts has between his ears, what Jalen Hurts has in his gut, in his heart, if you could bottle that and sell it, it would be flying off the shelves more than steroids in the 90s. Players would be flocking to get that stuff. But not everybody has what Jalen Hurts has. Now, some might just call it the it factor. It's so much more than that. This guy wants to compete, and this guy wants to persevere. And that's what I've seen over his time here in Philadelphia. No matter what it is, no matter if it's rumors off off the field of, oh, maybe the Eagles want Deshaun Watson. Maybe the Eagles are going to get Russell Wilson. Maybe the Eagles somehow magically are going to trade for Aaron Rodgers. Whether it's three first-round picks. Are you good enough to withstand a team that's got three first-round picks? They could do a lot with that. By the way, they have another two first-round picks in this draft as well. Nobody is talking about a quarterback. People are talking about a corner. People are talking about defensive linemen. Nobody's talking about a quarterback. I saw Todd McShay had, four quarterbacks go in the top 10 of his draft? In his latest mock draft, his 2.0 or 3.0, whatever the hell he's on now. Nobody's talking about it because you got a guy. You got Jalen Hurts. And Jalen Hurts has already proven to me that as long as you have him as your quarterback, you have a chance to win. And that's what we ask from every single quarterback out there. We also ask them to be the deodorant. If other things on the team are kind of smelly, kind of stinky, he's the guy that's supposed to mask it up. Perfect example of that is what went on in Indianapolis this past year, where the team was just, defense played great for four quarters. They did their job. I guess they're not very good offense, sure, but they still did their job. And then Jalen Hurts in the fourth quarter, to hell with everything else. We're going into that end zone. And that's exactly what they did at the end of that game. The Cardinals game, to an extent, was like that as well. It wasn't going well for three quarters of that game. Fourth quarter, let's go, boys. We're winning this game. To hell with everything else. That's what you ask of your quarterback, and that's what Jalen Hurts provides. So when the question comes up of whether or not Howie's going to get it done, and if he doesn't get it done, A.J. Brown saying, ship me off too, I have no concerns about that. I think the Hurts to Brown connection is going to be enjoyed here in Philadelphia for years to come. So I have no worries about that. A.J. Brown also told an interesting story about his head coach. Boy, did he. Nick Sirianni. Nick Sirianni apparently, during the season, told a story about how he watched his neighbor clean up after their dog. The dog took a toozy, okay? And he watched the neighbor pick up the poozy, okay? And that sounds different. And sounded different in my head, sorry. And he watched the neighbor pick up the poop, and he was watching the neighbor's technique. And he used that as an analogy for his team about how detail-oriented they had to be to have a successful season. Last year, flower power. This year, poopy power. Attention to detail. Whatever works for you, coach. Whatever works for you. That's where we are right now. Let me tell you about my man Steven Singer of Steven Singer Jewelers, the other corner of 8th and Walnut, right there on Jewelers Row. For over 40 years, Steven has been in the love business in Philadelphia, helping Philadelphia get engaged and fall in love. Steven is in the love business, and right now he's showing you the love by giving you the perfect price each and every day. The perfect price, ladies and gentlemen. Now, what's that? While other jewelers are marking things way up, Steven keeps it right there at the perfect price every single day. So you don't have to worry about haggling or negotiating or anything crazy like that. All you have to worry about is what beautiful piece of dazzling diamond inventory you want to take home with you for that special someone in your life. Steven Singer Jewelers, one place, one price, the perfect price. Online at IHateStevenSinger.com. That's IHateStevenSinger.com. Let me tell you right now about the amazing people at PHL Sports Nation. Philadelphia Sports Nation, enhancing your Philadelphia sports fan experience across all social media and blogs. That's PHLSportsNation.com. How about the people at Manscaped? Go to Manscaped.com, get 20% off with promo code Farzy at Manscaped.com. That's Manscaped.com, promo code Farzy, where you get 20% off and free shipping. You'll enjoy their Platinum Package 4.0, which includes their Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer and their Weed Whacker Ear and Nose Hair Trimmer. They both come with skin-safe technology that helps reduce the risk of nicks so you can manscape with confidence and comfort. So go to Manscaped.com. Check them out. Use promo code Farzy for 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com. How about PHL Sports Nation? I hit them already. How about Freestone Farm CBD? Oof. Freestone Farm CBD. Freestone Farm CBD. Where you also get 20% off and free shipping at Freestone Farms CBD. You'll enjoy the tropical tasting Bayox that clocks in at a chart topping 24.1%. And Super CBD, which is half Hindu.
Kush.
And 21%. Genetics of these guys are off the charts. So try Freestone Farm CBD, freestonefarmcbd.com. Enjoy all they have to offer. Let's get into the chat check and see how you beautiful people are doing this morning. Kevin, what's going on? Sean, hello. Fuji, good morning, everybody. Happy Wednesday.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
April, let's talk about baseball. Or yeah, April, yes, let's talk about baseball. Are we ready to start yet? PJ, of course, is very excited to talk about baseball, as you would assume. April, got my email from MLB TV, and they said they are going to be showing minor league games this year. That's great. That is awesome. PJ talking baseball. MLB is huge. Abel, McGarry, Lee, Baker, Rojas, Crawford all year will be so much fun. I got to get out. I haven't, you know where I haven't been in like 5 years is an Iron Pigs game. And folks, I got to tell you, it's awesome. Love going to the Iron Pigs game. They do a great job. Great job. Lehigh Valley Iron Pigs are a great, great game presentation. The stadium's gorgeous. And just to seal the deal, in case you needed to seal the deal, bacon on a stick. Yeah. Maple glazed bacon on a stick. I rest my case. April, look up the Moorhead City Marlins. They have won their championship a few times recently. Well, that's cool. Love watching people. That's good. Dan Schwartz, hard to not be negative about everything since the Super Bowl. I'm trying to forward to the Phillies without saying I don't care. Trying to get ready for the Sixers second round exit. Yeah, people are not optimistic. That's why, look, What's today? Wednesday, tomorrow. Tomorrow, the Sixers resume their schedule. They play the Memphis Grizzlies. Home game, 7:30. So they'll see John Morant and those fellas and all that stuff. I just want, as I told you yesterday, I just, over the next 26 games, the last 26 games of the regular season for the Sixers, just let me see it all come together. Let me see you playing your best brand of basketball, your best version of yourselves going into the playoffs. Let me see you be the team that got hot at the right time. Let me see that. Please and thank you. But I don't know. It's weird. After the Super Bowl and after the Phillies lost the World Series, and despite the Sixers most likely making another second round exit, I'm very, like, for me, how we look at spring training as a seasonal climate in Northeast Corridor of the United States, we always look at it as a new beginning, the start of something new, the start of something fresh, you know, the spring, all the cliches apply. The Phillies, for me, this year, after a World Series loss, of course, after the Union loss, after the disappointment of the Flyers, how they've been playing, they took a loss last night. It was a tough one. No TK last night. He had one of the upper or lower body injuries, one of those. And so he was held out of the lineup last night. And then the Eagles losing the Super Bowl, I should be more negative, but I'm not. I'm so much more optimistic. Because I think this team, over 162 games, the Phillies are going to be a pretty remarkable team. And I think they're going to be a lot of fun to watch. Just Trey Turner alone, the excitement on the base paths with him. A man on base like that, that often, thrown into this lineup, as stacked as they already were. Okay, let's go, fellas. I'm ready. And, it's always nice, too, to watch the development of a career, especially when a guy's starting out at 19 years old. That's not bad either. So, yeah, I'm very optimistic looking into this season, Dan. If anything, the Phillies, more than the Sixers, are helping pull me out of my Super Bowl lull. Excuse me. April, loss still stings for sure. Hopefully you get excited about baseball. April, I'm with you. April, A.J. Brown pulled a T.O. That's my quarterback. I liked AJ's delivery more, but you're right, April. Lamar and the Ravens are only $100 million apart. Not too bad. Oh man, I have a thought for you guys coming up in our morning rush in just a second. Mally, what's up, Mally? Nice to see you. Iron Pig's got the best bacon in the business. You damn right. Oh geez, Dan Schwartz just caught the Sirianni clip talking about the dog crap pickup. Must have been exhilarating for the team. They made it to a Super Bowl. Minor league games are so underrated. April, I concur. Fun for the whole family and affordable. You're right. Just can't wait to see some wood hitting some balls. Pause. Mally. Nick hitting 38 home runs, 100 RBIs this year. I'm predicting it. Mally, let's hope. Dan Schwartz, hardwood and balls. We're talking and watching baseball or watching the Farzi show. I don't know. Farzi show just got a whole lot sexier. April, why not both? Very nice. Very nice. Let's get into the morning rush brought to you by Sky Motorcars, skymotorcars.com. We'll still check you, find people in the chat as we go on here. But the franchise tag is a really wild thing this year in particular. It's always wild just to. It's the franchise's version of being shut up and deal with it. Take the average salary of everyone at your position. Here you go. Or the top 10 salaries of your position. Top five? Top 10? Average salaries, and here you go. The New York Giants have a bit of an issue here. Daniel Jones and Saquon Barkley, as you well know by now, are both up for the franchise tag. The Giants are most likely going to franchise tag Daniel Jones. I think Saquon Barkley, if I'm running the Giants, is getting that franchise tag. He's the guy that has time to be more special, or excuse me, less time to be special. So I'll pay all that money right now as a very nice down payment on what I can do with the running back. Now, conventional wisdom in the NFL is you don't pay the running back. This is not Ezekiel Elliott. This is not a contract we're talking about here. This is a one-year deal. Big money, but one-year deal. I'm going with that one-year deal for my running back more so than I'm going for my quarterback. Daniel Jones, to me, I know he won a playoff game last year. I know a lot of people were singing the Daniel Jones, Danny Dimes, whatever, praises. But if that man wants $45 million, no. I'm not giving him that contract. I don't care if he walks. If I'm going to pay anybody, I'm going to keep the guy that I know can put some butts in the seats, and that's Saquon Barkley. So, yeah, I don't think Daniel Jones should get any type of huge contract. I'd love to see, if you're a Giants fan, you want to see a guy like Saquon Barkley get a long-term deal, because I think you can make that a little bit more manageable. But Daniel Jones, you don't want to ink him to that long-term deal, which is would be a feather in the cap of the people that say, just give him the money up front now and don't spend all that money 1 year on one running back. If there is time to spend money on a running back, it's at this age right now for 1 year on Saquon. That's how I think you work that deal out. But there is a chance here that both Tony Pollard of the Dallas Cowboys, they're one of their best offensive weapons, a Pro Bowler this year, which is crazy to think about after Ezekiel Elliott's deal, and Saquon Barkley both don't get the tag and both walk on out of the NFC East. I'd be fine with that because that'd be a huge hit to both those division rivals. I'm here for that as well. A lot of decisions that the Eagles have to make with their contracts and CD Deuce, and we've talked about that, the idea of the franchise tag going to Chauncey Gardner-Johnson here in Philadelphia, most likely not. A long-term deal would probably get signed. So you're looking at your quarterback, and you're looking at your either safety or nickel corner, depending on how you want to use him on any given play. On the books, he'll be a safety. You're going to be paying both these guys top dollar on long-term deals. Two big reasons to believe in the Eagles again next year. And then what happens in New York, what happens in Dallas, oof. That could be big hits to your offense. And we'll just sit here as Eagles fans, fresh off a Super Bowl appearance, fresh off an NFC title, looking at that, laughing, enjoying, watching the demise of two other teams in the division. Not just the NFL, but the division in itself. That's what I'll be eagerly awaiting this offseason. They got some big moves to make. Also, you look out there in Cincinnati, Bates, another safety that I know we had some eyes on last year. Maybe not so much now, especially with the other deals the Eagles have to get done, aside from Jalen Hurts, aside from Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. Aside from all that, you still have some other big deals to get done. None on that same level. I mean, Jalen Hurts is on his own level in his own right. But big deals for those positions. So I don't think the Eagles are going to be that active when it comes to pursuing anybody else that could be out there. Like, I don't see them going after Saquon Barkley. I don't see them going after Tony Pollard. But they're going to have to make their own decision on their own running back right now, and Miles Sanders, who's going to command nowhere near the same amount of money, but might command a lot. He's only going to be staying here in Philadelphia if he decides to take a discount. I think he'll get more on the open market than what the Eagles are going to be willing to pay a running back in that situation. And if you really paid attention this year, I think you already saw the changing of the guard between Miles Sanders and Kenny Gainwell. So that's where we're at right now when it comes to contracts with the Eagles. But when I do look around the rest of this division, oof. You can't help but feel really, really good about where the Eagles are. I think that we're going to see a contract with Jalen that is going to be upwards around $50 million. You're talking about the latest contract, a guy just coming off a Super Bowl appearance, talking about a 24-year-old guy who has only shown you how much he can improve from 1 year to the other. And you already know you have weapons around him that have some years on those deals as well. Jalen's going to get paid. And you're looking at a guy that's most likely going to become, you got Patrick Mahomes, you got Aaron Rodgers. He's going to become one of those highest paid guys as well. And he might be third when you talk about average annual salary, which is still pretty damn good when you look at how well this team has played, or when you look at the rest of the league and how how much praise all these other quarterbacks get around the country. So that's something I am very much going to be looking forward to as the offseason rolls on. Yesterday was just the first day. Just the first day of the franchise tag. Now teams can start doling that out. Here are the numbers. Aaron Rodgers, $50.2 million average annual salary. Russell Wilson, $49 million. Kyler Murray, $46.1 million. Deshaun Watson, 46. Patrick Mahomes, 45. Yeah, you could very well, because it's the latest deal, seeing a guy like Jalen Hurts get that $50 million average annual salary. If you look at restructured deals, if you look at how Howie Roseman has worked in the past. And I try to tell everybody this all the time when it comes to the salary cap, whether it's Lane Johnson's deal getting restructured, whether it was years ago, a guy like Brandon Graham, whether it's Jason Kelsey getting a different contract, whatever it might be. You're going to have money available because Howie's going to move money around. You can always do that in the NFL, and Howie is a master at doing it. So when it comes to the idea of signing a quarterback to that much money, you could also look at the idea like Patrick Mahomes already restructured his deal after he signed it. A $450 million deal. All right, let's put a lot of that on the back end of it. Absolutely. Similar thing could happen here in Philadelphia with Jalen Hurts. And if Howie Roseman is scouring the different contracts around the NFL, oh, he's going to find loopholes to make sure he gets what he wants and keeps what he's got together and keep as many of these guys, 18 of them that he's got to re-sign or could re-sign from now to the next year. I think he's going to do everything in his power to make sure that he keeps as many of those guys as possible and also make the tough decisions. Guys that have been around here a long time, like Fletcher Cox, probably not going to be back. I do like the idea, especially with the snap count and the snap percentage being down. I do think a guy like Brandon Graham is going to be affordable, and I do think he wants to stay here in Philadelphia. And I like when I talk to Hollis Thomas or John McMullen, they're all talking about how this guy's going to be back. I thought he'd be done. He's going to be back. So there's going to be a lot of different things we're going to see from Howie Roseman. We're going to hear a lot of news, contracts being restructured so that you can sign big-time deals like Jalen Hurts for a quarterback or Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, CD Deuce as a safety, and then the other deals they have to make as well. Plus, it also helps financially that you're having a first-round pick, two first-round picks. And the odds are, I think the Eagles, I don't think they move up with their first two first-round picks, but they might flip one to next year as well. They might flip one to next year as well. Never count anything out with Howie Roseman. Mal, it is a plunging neckline again today. I'm sorry. Little things discussed in this chat. Dan, you're absolutely right. You know, the Giants can thank the Phillies for their name. I did not know that. I did not know that, Dan. Thank you for that. Ladies and gentlemen, I do have to mention the Flyers. I haven't done that yet. They got two nights off. They're going to return home after their Canadian trip here. They faced the Edmonton Oilers yesterday. It was a 4-2 loss. Carter Hart was in net for the Flyers. I'd be remiss if I didn't mention that. Your goal scorers last night, Cates had a goal for you. Tippett had a goal for you. It was a pretty goal, too. Who was it? Kevin Hayes. Kevin Hayes, nice little assist down the slot right there to Owen Tippett, who did what he does, tipped it in. It was nice. And then Carter Hart made 23 saves in the loss. The Oilers added an empty net goal. Connor McDavid, really good at hockey, by the way. Connor McDavid, 44 goals on the season. He had his 43rd last night, ended up as the game winner, and then he also had an empty netter for his 44th goal of the season. He's pretty good at hockey. He's pretty good at hockey. This side of things, working our way up, hopefully. Working our way up. As far as defensive coordinators go with Philadelphia Eagles, still very much in the search for the defensive coordinator position here in Philly. Jeff McClain, Inquirer.com, put out a story this morning. I definitely recommend checking out. And the question of a scheme change. Now, let's go letter of the law, scheme change, 4-3 to 3-4, whether or not the Eagles would actually do that. I know we got into this a little bit in yesterday's show. But when you talk about a guy like Vance Joseph and you talk about Jim Leonard, for instance, who we went into with at depth yesterday, these are very interesting situations. Now, the thing that did come out most recently was Denard Wilson being the leader in the clubhouse. Now, when I say in the clubhouse, I don't just mean to the external candidates and the internal candidates. I solely believe just the internal candidates. And the reason for that is this. As I broke it down for you yesterday, you can look at guys like Tracy Rocker, who've done a phenomenal job on the defensive line, and your defensive line being the heartbeat of your defense throughout the entire season. 70 sacks were mostly credited to your defensive linemen. That's a huge thing. So do you go with a guy like Tracy Rocker and reward him for how well his unit played? Or do you go with another guy who the league is very much more in favor of, Denard Wilson? And when I say that, I talk about the idea that he's the secondary coach. He's your defensive passing game coordinator. He's the guy that's orchestrating how well your secondary played, because you also had the best secondary in the NFL, best opponent's passer rating in the league, fewest yards allowed through the air. This is a guy that headed up that department. And when we look at the NFL nowadays, you got to be consistent with stopping the passing game. Do you then reward the man who headed up that department for you and make him your play caller defensively? Because I believe right now the Eagles are looking at Denard Wilson and they're saying this is our number one guy. If we go in-house, this will be our next offensive coordinator. He's probably going to play a very similar scheme or philosophy to Jonathan Gannon, and that's not just the 4-3. That's also talking about a lot of soft zone. That's talking a lot about your guys playing off the line of scrimmage. That's not being aggressive. If the Eagles do go in-house, I do believe, and that's what other people are saying as well, that he's the number one guy. He is the apple of their eye in the house. When it comes to external, I think Vance Joseph's getting a lot of attention here, and I also think Leonard's getting a lot of attention as well. It's going to be interesting to see which direction they end up going. I would feel better about an external candidate for the position because I do feel like, and I know they're going to put their own spin on it and they're going to put their own fingerprints on it, and maybe they would be more aggressive, but I do feel like if they stay within house, they're saying everything they're doing is acceptable. That's the message it sends to the fan base. That's the message it would send to me. But if they go external and they decide to go after guys that might bring a different attitude to this defense or might bring a little bit of a shakeup to this defense and getting guys to be more aggressive, having a more aggressive philosophy, maybe a more, changeable philosophy. Maybe you have an idea in mind that is going to be something that's going to benefit this defensive line even more than what we saw last year. Maybe you're going to find a healthy mix of actually dialing up a safety blitz every once in a while. Maybe you're going to be blitzing down the middle of the defensive line with your linebackers. Oh, my goodness, what an idea. And maybe not just doing that in the red zone with Patrick Mahomes in the Super Bowl. Maybe doing that up and down the field a little bit more often. Keep them guessing. Not relying on your edge rushers having to take that angle to try to get it up to the quarterback. Maybe these are just ideas. If you get somebody from outside the box, I think that would give a lot more people hope about the defense making drastic enough changes where people won't have to worry about whether or not they're being aggressive, where people will solely worry about whether or not you're having a defensive coordinator that is going to dial up what this team needs at the right moment. Perfect example of this. I know people on Jim Schwartz on his way out weren't exactly high on him, but I'll never forget in the divisional round of the playoffs against the Atlanta Falcons coming out of halftime, he dialed up a nice little Rodney McLeod blitz. That was nice. You don't see that really from Jonathan Gannon. And I don't know if we'd see it from anybody that was working under him here on his coaching staff. For me, my vote is for somebody outside. But if it is inside, I see them going for Denard Wilson. I'm not saying that's what I'm rooting for. I'm rooting for an outside candidate. That's why the initial idea of Lovie Smith was so damn attractive. Oh, this guy's definitely got his own ideas. This guy's not being influenced by anything that we've had here so far. The other thing is, if you bring in somebody that's never really been a defensive coordinator, you bring in somebody who's happy to be here, yeah, he'll bring in guys on his staff. He'll get guys to add. But you also get to keep a lot more of your staff that way. You bring in a guy like Lovie Smith, oh, he's going to have his own ideas. He's going to have his own staff to bring in. So I think it's going to be one of the lesser known guys, a guy that's more on the up and coming like Jonathan Gannon was, as opposed to a guy that's already established. I don't think they're really going to wow us with this defensive coordinator spot. It's going to be like a name like Nick Sirianni. Hopefully we grow to love him. That'll be the instance here in Philadelphia. Thanks to everybody in the chat. You guys are great as per usual. Now I got you guys talking about bacon on a stick. Wait a minute. Ty Vita. What's up, Ty Vita? Nice to see you back in the chat. Nice to have you. Thanks to everybody in the chat. You guys are great as per usual. Sean Gillespie is now talking about bacon on a stick. You're damn right, you are. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. This is the Farzee Show. Presented by my friend Steven Singer at Steven Singer Jewelers. Jim Hyde produced the program. Did a wonderful job as per usual. This is a Buzz Sports and Entertainment production. Have a great rest of your day, everybody. See you.